Billy Graham tells of a time during the early years of his preaching ministry where he was due to lead a crusade meeting in a town in South Carolina, and he needed to mail a letter. He asked a little boy in the main street how he could get to the post office. After the boy had given him directions, Billy said, "If you come to the Central Baptist Church tonight, I'll tell you how to get to heaven." The little boy replied, "No thanks. You don't even know how to get to the post office." Well, I'm sure Billy Graham may not know how to get to the post office, but he sure knows how to get and relate to how to get to heaven. While searching for this topic, I came upon a great acronym for the word teamwork, because this morning I'm going to be talking about teamwork and God's church. And an acronym, for those people maybe that don't know what an acronym is, you take each letter from the word teamwork, and it means something within the church. So the T for teamwork is together. The E is enjoying. The A is a tough one, it's ah. M is ministry. W is worshiping. O is our. R is righteous, and K is king. And to put that all together, it says, together, enjoying a ministry, worshiping our righteous king. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Great teamwork makes more things happen than anything else in any organization, church or otherwise. More than skills, more than qualifications, more than money. The story is told of a soldier whose life was changed after he successfully completed an obstacle course in Air Force basic training. And he did it in his first attempt. In fact, he completed the course far ahead of everyone else. But as he stood feeling satisfied within himself, he was immediately confronted by his drill sergeant, who demanded, "Where are all your buddies, soldier?" "Back there, sergeant," the soldier replied. "I won." The sergeant barked, "Soldier, the obstacle course isn't about coming first. It's about finishing. Guess what? Everybody finishes, or nobody wins. So go back and run it again, and this time, help the guys who are struggling along the way." That began the soldier's transformation from a lone competitor obsessed with winning into an encourager whose goal was to build teamwork. Jesus didn't move through life as a solitary figure, living a perfect life all alone. As he neared the cross, he poured out his heart in prayer for his disciples. In John 17, verses 11 and 12, we read, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me." Jesus himself showed us what teamwork was all about. When Christians work together, they divide the effort, but they multiply the effect. A well-known football manager once commented in an interview that it's easy to get good players. It's getting them to play together that's the hard part. That's really no different with believers. A farmer noticed a highway department truck pulling over to the shoulder of the road. One man got out and dug a hole. Then he got back in the truck. Soon after, a different man got out and filled in the hole. They did this every 50 meters all the way along the road. It was driving the farmer crazy. Finally, he approached them and asked, "What on earth are you doing?" "We're on a highway beautification project, And the guy who plants the trees is homesick today. Moral of the story? No unity, no teamwork, no productivity. The Greek word for church is ecclesia, which literally means called out ones. For we as Christians, we are called out of the world by Christ into Christ. God blesses the called out ones who work together in unity for His cause. God gave us many different gifts, as mentioned in Corinthians 12, and we need to coordinate our efforts to glorify His church. Teamwork can be summed up in 5 words. We believe in each other. Why do we believe in each other? Because we all have faith in our Heavenly Father, who put us together in this church for a reason. Teamwork is the fuel that allows common people like you and I to produce uncommon results. True teamwork is a two-way street. Reaching out to help others is one side of the street, but being open and receptive to help is the other side. For me, that's the tougher one. No fellowship could ever function properly without the dedication and commitment of those contributing to building God's house. In the reading from Corinthians 12, Paul compares the body of Christ to the human body. For each part has a specific role to play and is necessary for the body to function as a whole. The parts are different for a purpose, and in their differences, they must work together. And despite our differences, we do have one thing in common: our faith. Believers are in the world together. There is no such thing as private or individualistic Christianity. It does not exist. The same Spirit fills our innermost being, and as members of God's family, we have many different interests and gifts. But we have the same common goal. And that common goal is to glorify and honor our Heavenly Father. You can learn a lot about teamwork by studying nature. Here's a fascinating fact about honeybees. Maybe some of you know this, I didn't. On a warm day, about half the bees stay inside the hive, beating their wings, while the other half go out and gather pollen and nectar. Because of the beating wings, the temperature inside the hive is 10 degrees cooler than outside. The bees rotate duties, and the bees that cool the hive one day are honey gatherers the next. Built-in air conditioner. Or how about geese and their flying patterns? Have you ever wondered why geese fly in that very organized V formation? Winging their way to a warmer climate, they often cover thousands of miles before reaching their destination. We can discover a lot about teamwork by studying geese, their flight patterns, and their in-flight habits. One, the leadership role is rotated. When the lead goose gets tired, it will fly in the wing, and another will assume the point position. Two, the V formation helps create an upward air current and gives the flock about 70% greater flying efficiency. 70%, that's huge, than if they were flying singly. Three, when one goose is sick or having trouble, two others will fall out with it to look after that one goose until it's able to rejoin and fly again. 4. The rear geese, do the honking. This encourages the leaders and tells them that the others are still with them. Closer to home for me in the world of sport, teamwork is prevalent in almost everything that we do in sport. Take our track and field team, for example. Although most of the events involve individual participation, there is still a great deal of teamwork. It starts with setup, when we arrive at a meet, followed by group warm-up, often led by senior athletes or coaches, and right into competition, where those not taking part act as support by clapping and cheering each other on. And then there are the relays, which do involve 4 runners, plus a lot of support staff. And believe me, this past week, Thursday, Friday, we were at Wausau, and I think probably more kids come home hoarse than they did with sore legs and limbs because of hollering and cheering each other on. That's part of teamwork. By working together, the athletes and these creatures of nature accomplish what they set out to do. I believe our church works a lot the same way. Every Sunday morning, there are anywhere from 12 to 20 people involved in this service. We have those who set up chairs, set up the sound system, those that provide the refreshments, the greeters, pre-service prayer team, worship team, the speaker, the person reading the scripture, the one leading in prayer, Sunday school teachers, nursery attendants and teachers, hall monitors. That's a big team. All knowing their jobs, but working together to make things run well. And what about the potlucks, which we are having today? Or the meals that the church family provides for those who have suffered recent losses? And a very recent example, as early as yesterday, would be the garage sale held. Over 20 people, and I probably missed a bunch, but I was just counting them up on my fingers, under the leadership of Diane and Susan, helped make it a success. I'm sure we could go on with other examples, but you probably get the drift by now. Throughout the Bible, we read stories about people working together as teams to achieve a mission. Noah and his family worked together to build the ark. They also collected the animals to go into the ark. And I'm going to read from Genesis 6, verses 11 to Genesis 7, 5. If you wanted to get that in your Bibles and join me, I'll give you a second. There's 2 or 3 scriptures that I'm going to refer to. This is Genesis 6, 11 to Genesis 5, 7, 5. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, "I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy them both and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Now, you can imagine Noah's not going to do this, obviously, by himself. Not something of that magnitude. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark 2 of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. 2 of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. And I'm going to stop there. One example. What about Nehemiah? We're not going to read this one, so you don't have to worry about finding Nehemiah. Nehemiah, and he built the wall around Jerusalem. But not only did he build the wall, he did it in 52 days. A huge task, which of course, he would never have done by himself. Could never have done by himself. If you want to read about that, you can read about it in Nehemiah 6, verses 15 to Nehemiah 7:3. We certainly can't forget about Moses. So if you want to find Exodus 18, 13 to 27, that's the next one that we're going to read. Moses tried to go it alone and became way too much for him to be judge over the entire Israelite nation. So he got help. And the work became a team effort. And starting on verse 13 of Exodus 18, the next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to Him. Teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listens to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. And we'll stop there. Moses faced another crisis, which you can find, and we're not going to read this one either, in Numbers 11, verses 4 to 17. Of course, he was facing crisis all the time because he was dealing with the complaining people, the Israelites. We're not like that, of course, but the Israelites complained every step of the way. For 40 years they complained. Can you imagine living with somebody who complains for 40 years? I just have to look in the mirror. In this case, the people needed food. They were starving. They were complaining, "Well, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt and let us die there? We're just going to starve out in the desert." "That I won't do. I won't starve." And they wailed to Moses, who could not carry all these people by himself. So God told him to get 70 elders to team up with them. And he listened to God. And he got these 70 elders to team up and to help him. And the going got a lot easier. Most importantly, though, we need to look to Jesus and his leadership with his 12 disciples to start with. It could be argued that this team was the greatest team ever assembled, and probably is for we as Christians. And you can go a lot of places in the gospel to find the gospels, the four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to find evidence of teamwork. But I'm just going to use the one which a lot of us are probably familiar with. And if you want to look this one up, you can as well. It's in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And it's the Great Commission. Actually, I'm going to start at 16. But once I start reading it, you'll probably remember it a bit. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All the authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Great teamwork makes things happen more than anything else in our fellowship. It's a biblical reference, and it's part of God's will for us as believers. When we apply it, God blesses us. As believers, we have a responsibility to care for each other, to communicate effectively, and to honor the team's success ahead of our own. A good point to remember is it's not about you. If you are not involved with the team here at LWCF, I want to encourage you to become a part of it. And for you that are, I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on, and grow and to become an even greater part and a greater member of this great team that we're all a part of, God's team. We are a fellowship of contributors who don't get caught up in just consuming what God has to offer. What a great privilege it is for me to be a part of all that God has given us in this church family. Let's never lose sight of His wonder, His power, His grace, and His glory. Let's pray.